Good morning, everybody. If everybody could take a seat, please. While everybody's taking a seat, let me just take 1 second. Since I'm the leader of the class, I get to do something a little special. Hey, Dad. Oh, wait. The light turned. Hey, Scott, the light's off. Yeah, I'm still good? All right. Since I'm the leader, I can say this. Hey, Dad. Dad's watching from Tennessee, so everybody turn around and say hi to Dad. All right. I'm going to run things just a little bit differently this morning. If you have a question, please remember it. There's going to be specific times during the class. I'll ask for questions, comments, concerns. And if you're going to throw tomatoes at me, don't throw them too hard. All right. Mr. Dorn, will you please lead us in prayer?
Remember our responsibility to check the scriptures to make sure everything that is taught is true. We ask that you calm our spirit, help us concentrate upon Christ and the suffering that he went through for our sins. Be with us and bless us. Forgive us of our sins. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.
So for those of you that are here this morning, you get a surprise. But I'll tell you what the surprise is after we're finished here this morning. So 4 or 5 years ago, I was watching a documentary regarding music made here in America and how American music has influenced the world, influenced congregations, has influenced the whole entire music community in America. Apparently, if you are a fan of country music, the blues, or rock and roll, the great-great-grandfather of all three of these genres of music are Negro spirituals that were made during slavery times. Negro spirituals, first came the blues, then from Negro spirituals to blues came country music, and from that came rock and roll. Which has really influenced just about every genre of music worldwide. And then four British guys came to America and showed us how it's done. So funny how that went all the way around. Now, except for the Amish, I was watching another documentary on the Amish. Apparently, when the Amish sing praises to God, they don't have a bass and then a falsetto, a tenor, all different parts we have. In this documentary I was watching about the Amish, they allowed the TV cameras to go to the farm, to the farmhouse, to the barn, but they wouldn't let the cameras go into their worship services. But one of the camera crew snuck a camera up to the window of the church building, and it's very interesting sounding. They all sing in bass all at once while singing praises to God. Very interesting sounding. All right, one of my readers just showed up. I want to make sure he's ready. Okay. So, but it doesn't matter what congregation you're part of. If you're an Amish person, if you're out here in the world going to services, attitude matters. I'd like to highlight a few parts about why attitude matters. First thing I'd like to introduce to people is when we're singing praises to God, sing like you got a pulse. I've led singing hundreds of times over the years, and one thing that always bugs me, I wonder if some people ever even want to be here, because pretend like this is the back of a pew. I honestly see people, Amazing Grace, with their hand on their fist like this, as if they're bored to death or something. So let's do our best to sing like we got a pulse. Second thing here would be, sing what you mean and mean what you say. I could go through our songbook and give you many examples, but the biggest one here I can think of is a song where in the chorus we say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Do you mean it? Can you honestly say, "Lord, send me"? I mean, maybe the Lord wants to send you next door to your next door neighbor. Maybe the Lord wants to send you to the other side of the world to preach to somebody. Either way, if you don't really mean "send me," perhaps you shouldn't be singing the song "send me." Now, here's one. If you want to disagree with me during the questions and comments section, feel free to disagree with me. If you're living a life of rebellion Monday through Saturday, maybe you shouldn't be singing hymns while you're here. If you were a business owner and your employees didn't care at all Monday through Friday, would you really want your employees, when it comes to paycheck time, 15 minutes of paycheck time, to start working really hard? So think about your lifestyle out in the world while you're singing these songs. And here's a thought for you. If you got a secret sin in your life and only your children can see it, don't pick out a hymn that makes you feel warm and fuzzy inside and walk around the house singing that hymn while living this life of complete rebellion. Your child will probably grow up, and every single time the congregation sings that hymn will not feel very good when we start singing that song. So just know that your actions and the hymns that you've seen while you're not here will affect those in your household. And my last thought on here on Attitude Matters is, while we're singing these hymns, I'm going to go ahead and admit I am in the bottom 1%. My voice is not that great. I've heard it myself, and I've been told that I don't have that great of a voice. But let's just say you are one of the best. You don't have to prove that you're one of the best. Just because you're the loudest, just because you can hit all the notes, doesn't mean that you have to prove it. We all remember Jen Byer. I love Jen Byer. She has got one of the best voices I've ever heard in my life. I went to Cora's concert, a choir concert, and they got choirs of the young kids and then the high school seniors. And there was this girl. She was a short, blonde girl with curly blonde hair. Does that sound like anybody else? Jen Byer. And she was singing, but she wasn't trying to outdo everybody. But I could hear her over everybody, even though she was singing just like everybody else. She had the right attitude, and it showed, and I could hear her just fine. Now that we're talking about attitude, let me tell you about a handsome young man that had a bad attitude. Gary Main, what a guy. So I was about 15 years old, and this family came and visited. And I was sharing this story with Andrew Drake some time ago. He thinks he knows who I'm talking about, but I don't believe this is who it was, who he thinks it is. There's the husband, wife, they had a son and a daughter. And the son was about 13 years old. And just like the rest of us men, we have to go through puberty sometime, and this kid's voice was horrible. I mean, horrible, horrible, horrible. Have you ever sat next to a speaker and listened to music and it pops right in your ear? You know that it hurts when it pops right in your ear? This kid's voice cracked from two or three rows behind me. It just, oh, ow, ow. It was bad. I want to emphasize it hurt when he sung. For the first song and a half, maybe two songs, I had this horrible attitude. And I kept on saying to myself, kid, will you stop singing? At least sing softly, because he was singing loudly. And then it hit me. You know what? This kid is giving God 100%, and I'm not. Amen. This kid knows what he's here to do. As for the rest of the service, I wish I could say it didn't hurt anymore. It still hurt. His cracking voice still hurt. But I enjoyed hearing his cracking voice because I knew that he was doing a good job. He was living Ephesians 5:19. Sing all hymns, songs, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart. He was doing a good job. All right, funny little tidbit about what happened after services. I walked up to the kid, I put my arm around him, and I said, kid, I love it. You keep up the good work. I don't care what anybody says. You keep singing as loud as you want. And I slapped him on the back, and I turned around, and I walked away. For some reason, I turned around, and I looked at the kid. He is bawling his eyes out, crying. His head is just buried in his mom's chest. And he didn't take the compliment the way I meant it. And his dad was giving me the death glare. I wasn't exactly Mr. Confidence back then, so I turned around and walked away. So be careful about the compliments you give people about their singing. So right here we got hymns for worship. And then we got hymns for worship, the Bendy book. We got sacred selections. And we got the supplemental songbook. In between these, we got 2,300 songs. Songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. There's probably a lot of repeats in between all these, so we got ourselves more than 1,500 songs we could sing here. The Bible doesn't tell us, okay, here's the song. You got 25 songs in the book of, give me a made-up book of the Bible. No, that's a real book of the Bible. Yeah, all right, so just pretend there's a book of the Bible that tells us, here's your songs. When you sing hymns to God, here's the songs you're gonna sing. I'm sure we'd have them all memorized by now, wouldn't we? But we don't. So I wanted to take some time today and talk about where did we get these songs, these hymns. If they didn't come organized in the Bible, but before we do that, let's remember that hymns are what we use to give praise to our God. And we also use these hymns to encourage our brothers and sisters. So let's take it seriously. As everybody knows, I'm a truck driver. One day I was making a delivery to Costco, and I like delivering to Costco's because most of the time, Costco's will allow me to walk around and eat some samples. And I love Costco samples. If I could have a Costco membership for any reason, it'd be for the samples. So I'm walking around Costco, and there's this Asian guy. And English wasn't quite his first language, but he could speak it pretty well. And as he's handing out samples to people, I hear, "This is my story, this is my song." And it just made my day, and I walked up to him. I took a sample, of course. I took the sample, and I looked right at him. And for about a minute, we both sung, "Praising my Savior all the day long." And we smiled, and we gave each other the thumbs up, and I ate my sample. So never underestimate singing a hymn during your day around others. I mean, I'm not saying blurt it and get right in someone's face. You will listen to me. Just sing it softly to yourself. You never know. You could brighten someone's day. That guy made my day. It's not going to surprise you that most of the songs that we sing, or at least half of them, come word for word from the Bible. People have gone through the Bible and made these hymns from book chapters and verses we read. And I apologize for stuttering like this. For some reason, I'm nervous. All right, so Nate, Andy, flip a coin. Who wants to read first? Okay. Psalms 25.
Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. Those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and your loving kindness, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your loving kindness, remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Lord, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in justice, and he teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great.
From this we got, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I put my trust in thee. Do not let me be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. I'm just going to kind of rapid fire through a lot of these. Bill Spahn, when I got 15 minutes, do this. And then when I got, just count me down. All right. Who's next? Read. Read Psalm 19 for me.
Psalm 19. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. In them he has placed a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run his course. Its rising is from one end of the heavens, and its circuit to the other end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat.
Whoever put together this hymn got a little bit lazy and just called Psalm 19, Psalm 19. And from this he arranged, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Nate?
I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies.
Right there. Thank you. So from verse 3, the person that put together this, arranged this hymn, took verse 3 and put, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. All right, without looking at the screen, read Psalm 23 for me.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in clear waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me besides quiet waters, he restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I remembered that when I was about 10 years old, and it's the only verse that's forever stuck in my head.
Good. What about he wept? Can you remember that one? He wept?
Jesus wept.
Jesus wept. All right, sorry. Okay. So I'm going to blame Scott Sousa for this one, but we couldn't find the version of the Lord's my shepherd that I was looking for. But does it surprise you that in our psalm books, there's 4 or 5 psalms just alone based on Psalm 23? All right, I'm just going to scan through this. All right. Maybe I'll cut you off early, but Psalm 148.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all stars of light. Praise him, highest heaven, and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he has commanded, and they were created. He has also established it forever and ever. He has made a decree which will not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and winged fowl, kings of the earth and all the peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and virgins, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven, and he has lifted up a horn for his people. Praise for all his godly ones, even for the sons of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord.
Butterbuck, can you take a wild guess at the top of your head what hymn we've seen that came from that verse? There, I threw you a softball there, Mike. Sorry about that. We've seen Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. Pretty much word for word from Psalm 148. I'll go through this quickly. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. From the heavens, praise his name. Praise Jehovah in the highest. All his angels praise, proclaim. All his hosts together praise him. Sun and moon and stars on high. Praise him, O ye heaven of heavens, and ye floods above the sky. Sometimes these songs just write themselves, don't they? All right, Isaiah 6:3.
Did you want 1 through 4 or just verse 3?
I guess start with one. Okay. Start with one.
In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, and with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one called out to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out while the temple was filling with smoke.
Anybody want to guess what song what hymn we've seen from that song? You got it. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in 3 persons. Someone will have to explain to me why that song got changed about 5 years ago. I don't know why the songbook started changing the last part of that. Okay, does anybody have questions, comments, concerns so far? Come on, Mike. I know you do.
Well,
with regard to the last comment about why that particular song has been revised, There is the fact that the word Trinity is not found in the Bible. And so that many people have objected to as far as being in the song when it's not found in Scripture.
The word itself, Trinity, is not.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
The word itself.
Right.
Okay. There's probably lots of words we use to describe something that aren't actually in the Bible.
Right, okay. That's a word that's being used to describe God. So.
Good point, maybe. Maybe we shouldn't make up words to describe God.
Exactly.
Okay. Go ahead.
You know, you mentioned how that a number of these songs are just, I shouldn't say just, are verses of Scripture that somebody has set a melody to. And it wouldn't be that difficult for us, and I'm talking about individually, to want to just look at a verse that maybe is that's inspiring us and just make up some of our own little melody. And I've done that a few times over the years, just with my kids, you know, we'd sing a few words. I made up other songs, too, that weren't spiritual that we would also play with. But I don't know, you just got me thinking about that if you really wanted to maybe make a new song, sing a new song, as the Scripture says, pick a verse you like and like you say, singing while you're around the house or whatever it is.
I think that would be
an encouraging thing.
That's very true, Eli. I'm going to go ahead and jump to one of my next thoughts later on, because it makes sense with that. Feel free to write your own hymn. Feel free to write down on paper what your thoughts, what God has done for you, and sing it. Make up your own tune and sing it. Okay, just one second. I've just asked Narissa. I've made up many songs, and I've seen them around the house. I've got a song for Isaiah. I got a song for Jonah. I got a song for Cora. Cora's not a big fan of these songs because she can knock it off. I even got one for Narissa. So it's not that hard to make up a song in your heart. Probably just find somebody you like.
I was going to say Brother Bill was saying over there. I can give you an example of a song from the shortest psalm in the Psalms is Psalm 117. It's only two verses, right? He goes, and I render it like this: Praise ye the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Praise
That's
ye
nice.
The Lord. So maybe we could sing that. I don't know.
Yeah. Get together with Scott. Get together with Scott and
very short.
And put it on a slide and teach us how to sing it. I like that. You don't have to be someone specific to write a hymn. Okay. Moving on. Speaking of, you don't have to be someone specific to write a hymn. This guy's name is E.M. Bartlett. E.M. Bartlett, in 1939, had a stroke. He could no longer live by himself. He had to live with family members. Every day of his life was just excruciating pain. One night, when he couldn't sleep because the pain was so bad, Mr. Bartlett wrote a hymn. He wrote a poem that was later turned into a hymn. In the first verse of his poem, he talked about remembering his day of salvation. And he recognizes the fact that only Jesus can save. His hymn basically went, I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory.
Amen.
Praise God. I should have asked Scott to put the whole thing on there, but I didn't. It's my fault. Am I getting this stuck in your head? I can hear you over there. All right. And keep it up. I want to get these songs stuck in your head. Hold on. If we sing these songs, we'll be here all day long.
We're actually going to sing this during.
That's my surprise. Yeah. Don't tell no one. All right. In the second part of his hymn, he asked God for relief from his pain. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, "Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit." In the third part and final part of his poem that he wrote, he talked about wanting a home in heaven. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in heaven, in glory. I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing in the old redemption story. And some sweet day, I'll sing up there the song of victory. And Mr. Bartlett passed away in 1941. Phil, prepare yourself to laugh just a little bit here. This guy's name is Edward Moat. Edward Moat, M-O-T-E. All right, Andy, you're in the healthcare profession. What is the weirdest place you've ever heard of a woman giving birth?
The weirdest place?
Yes.
I don't know.
Anybody else? Anybody got some guesses? Where is a weird place you've heard of a woman giving birth?
An elevator?
All right, that is pretty odd. What was it, stuck?
No.
Oh, it just came really fast?
Just couldn't get out of the apartment and into a taxi.
That's pretty good. All right. Edward Moat was born in 1797. Edward Moat was born in a bar.
In
a bar, B-A-R. We're not talking about today's restaurants that has a bar section and the health inspector comes to make sure everything's clean once a month. No, we're talking about the old school bar where the sailors come to get extra drunk and carouse. He grew up with very little supervision and he got into trouble all the time. He just, you name the trouble, he got into it. Until about age 18, he got a job as a cabinet maker. And his boss was a good man who talked to him about Jesus. And Edward Moat went on to become a preacher. He changed his ways. When I say he was a bad kid, he was a bad kid. Just fill in any blanks you want there. He was a bad kid until he got a job at age 18 as a cabinet maker. His boss taught him about Jesus. He became a preacher. And this is the part that surprises me. This is the song. This is the hymn that he wrote. Where will your anchor hold in the storms of life? Will the clouds unfurl their wings of strife? When the strong tides lift, the cable strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? And those words came from somebody that had no supervision growing up, no anchor in his life growing up. But he talks about Jesus being his anchor.
Amen. Gary, you want me to let you know about when you're down to 15 minutes?
15 minutes. All right, I'll hurry up then. Time flies. All right. I'm not too sure if I gave Scott the right picture, but good enough, I hope. This is Franny Crosby. Franny Crosby was born in 1820. When she was about 3 weeks old, her parents noticed that she had little black spots growing on her eyeballs. They took her to a doctor, and the doctor put something called hot mustard plasters on her eyeballs, directly on the eyeballs. The good news is her fever went down. She got better, but she was blind. She would never see again in her life after three weeks old. Sorry, six weeks old. 3 weeks after that, her father passed away. So needless to say, back in the mid-1800s, if your father died, you didn't have much money. She grew up in extremely poor. Her mother worked extremely long hours, couldn't hardly bring any money. But Franny had a good friend named Phoebe, who was a very wealthy woman. And while her mother was at work, she'd go over to Phoebe's house. And Phoebe was a very accomplished piano player. And every day, she'd make up songs just out of her heart, Phoebe playing the piano. And one day, Phoebe started playing a tune. Can you guess what the tune was? Do, 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 do. And Franny, hold on a second. I have to hear that again. Franny pulled out her notes. I don't know if they had Braille back then, but Franny was a poem writer. And that's how we got Blessed Assurance. Phoebe wrote the music, and Francis wrote the words. So ask yourself, would Franny be the poem writer she was if she had it better in life? Would Franny and Phoebe be friends if these circumstances had happened? Sometimes God takes the bad and makes the good out of it, doesn't he? Some years later, a guy named Ira Sankey published Blessed Assurance and started traveling the country teaching this song to everybody. All right, other than Mike Franklin, who knows who Joseph Scriven is? And Mike's shaking his head no? All right, I've talked about this guy several times, and I'm going to keep talking about him until everybody knows all about him. Joseph Scriven is my personal hero, even though he died 94 years before I was born. Joseph Scriven was born in Ireland in 1844. I'm sorry. Okay, so he was born a long time ago in Ireland. I got my notes wrong, sorry. In 1844, he was engaged to his high school sweetheart. The day before their wedding, they made plans to get together to have a picnic down by the river. His fiancée got there just a couple minutes before him. Something spooked the horse. She went flying out off the horse. She hit her head on a rock in the river, and she drowned the day before they were supposed to get married. And Joseph said it was too much. He couldn't go on anymore. So in 1845, Joseph moved to New Hope, Ontario, California. He spent the next 9 years of his life working for others. In fact, he wanted to be such a good Samaritan that he refused to actually get a job. He went around working for the disabled, the widows, the sick. And the only thing he would take and as for payment was maybe a change of clothes, a place to stay, some food. And that's how he got the nickname, the Good Samaritan of New Hope. In 1854, he got a job as a tutor for a rich guy. He was tutoring the rich guy's children and his niece, his grown niece. And her name was Eliza Rush. And during the time he was tutoring the children and the niece, he fell in love with her. And he got permission from the old man to get engaged. 3 weeks before Eliza and Joseph were to be married, she got pneumonia and passed away. Guy just cannot catch a break. I couldn't find anything on the internet if he ever finally got married, but he wrote a poem to his mother shortly after the funeral. And the poem that he wrote to his mother went roughly like this. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Let's be like Joseph Scriven. When the times are hardest, let's show God that we trust in him. Because he wasn't even trying to show everybody, he wasn't trying to show off, but his dedication to God made one of the most famous hymns we've ever heard. How much time do I got? What?
6 minutes.
6 minutes. I spent the last 6 minutes picking on Dave Shipp. Now, Dave Shipp, back in 1965, was Mr. Muscle Man, long flowing hair. He had a muscle car. All the women loved him. He was the coolest guy Sumner, Washington has ever seen. He was driving down the road one day and heard a song, and he had to slow down a little bit, turn up the music. It was a song called Turn, Turn, Turn. And he just couldn't understand why he loved the song so much. Well, Dave, I've got some bad news for you. The song Turn, Turn, Turn was not written by Roger McGuinn. The song Turn, Turn, Turn was written 3,000 years ago by... I'm sorry. Solomon. Whew, my brain sometimes. It was written by Solomon 3,000 years ago. And we can find that in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Verses 1 through 8. All right. Questions, comments, concerns? So, while you're going up here, I brought that up about the song Turn, 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 because the Bible writes so many beautiful words that I don't know anything about this Roger McGuinn guy. Maybe he's a Christian, maybe he's not. But even non-Christians can recognize the beauty of the Bible.
I was thinking earlier when we talked about making up songs to various scriptures or to teach or something, that it would be a good way to memorize scripture that you wanted to know, because they often say you remember songs much easier, the words to songs, than just looking at words. So if there were scriptures, passages of scripture you wanted to memorize, to make it to a song would help with memorization.
That is very true. I am Facebook friends with Angela Suddeth, and one day she posted a video of her sons singing a whole book from Psalms. So you're right. And along with that, his name was Eric. A long time ago, we had a guy named Eric that moved here from Texas. And he said that his next door neighbor had a, hey Nate, to your left, Nate? He had said that his next door neighbor had a little girl, and she would walk around outside singing, why buy a mattress anywhere else, ding? And that's just the proof he needed that we can get these songs stuck in our head. And what songs would be better to get stuck in our heads than the hymns that we sing, which come from the Psalms.
You mentioned Turn, Turn, Turn by the Birds. That made me think of another one. It was by an English trio called Boney M. back in the mid to late 70s when they sang, by the rivers of Babylon, there we lay down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. You know what that's taken from, right? Psalm 137.
All right. I guess I don't know those guys. All right. That's before my time.
Yeah. They, And at the end of that song, I think they also sung something that from the end of Psalm 19, may the meditations of my heart, may the thoughts of my mind and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. I think that's at the end of Psalm 19.
In a society that wants to cancel the Bible, go to the Bible for yours, and nobody will know that you didn't write your own songs, right? All right, hey, up here. All right, so while Nate's getting up here, let me close up by saying that your surprise that I was talking about is Bill Spahn has promised me that every song he leads today is going to be from the songs we talked about today. So, congratulations.
Not everyone.
Oh, wow. So once you think you know a guy.
At least
three? Okay.
Surprise, Gary.
All right. Not even I know then. All right. And there was one more thing. Maybe I'll remember while you're talking.
We, the Church of Christ, has a brother Bund that I grew up with, and he actually wrote a hymnal, a book, and I have two copies.
Yeah?
I could bring one if anybody's interested.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's, I just wanted
maybe
you to
one
know.
Of the elders can teach
Church
it to
of Christ.
Us. Yeah. Hey, what's his name? The
brother Bund.
Not him. There's another guy in Ohio that passed away a few years ago. That used to have a song leading class. He would invite people from all over the country. I forget his name, but he actually wrote a few of our songs.
Well, R.J. Stevens.
Stevens, that's who I was talking about, R.J. Stevens.
He's the one who put together these slides.
Oh, all right. Shows how much I know. Okay, Mr. Dorn, and then one more.
Yes, we know Ward Ellsworth, that he also a member of Church of Christ and wrote many songs.
Good.
Who's the brother in Bremerton? There was a brother.
Trimble.
Brother Trimble. Harold
Mr. Trimble. Trimble? Okay. 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 Bill Spahn. Nate? All right. You get the last word. Before we leave, what is something about the songs and hymns and spiritual songs we've seen that maybe something I haven't touched on that we should think about this week?
I can't think of anything else. I think it's been an encouraging thing. The history there, as well as the background of the scriptures. Good job, brother.
Okay. All right. Well, am I close enough to time?
Oh, yeah, good.
Okay. Well, thank you for not throwing too many tomatoes at me.